Matthew chapter 13.
And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" They were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. What I want to try, if God would help me for a little bit this evening to preach about, is hindering the power of God. Hindering the power of God. These people had one of the greatest opportunities that anybody could have, is that the Lord of heaven would pass through their country, which was his own country. The Bible said in verse 54, when he was come into his own country, he'd come back home. He was going to do mighty works, but he couldn't. The Bible says, because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. When you think about hindering the power of God, just in the fact of not believing, not trusting in his ability. That's what it is. They questioned who he was. That was one of the things that hindered the power of God. And people, there are people everywhere that, you know, they say they want God to move, but they question who he is. You can't question God, and you can't question his son and what they can do, and then expect the power of God to move. There are men that you know, they say, you know, they want to see people saved and see a revival and a move of God, but they don't even believe that the Red Sea was parted. They've got an answer for everything. No way was there a fish that swallowed Jonah? These are the things they say. They look at Scripture, at the things that is impossible with man, and say it's impossible that happened. Why would anybody say this is impossible with God? I don't ever want that to come out of my mouth, to say this is impossible with God. The Bible says there anything too hard for the Lord. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Amen. There's nothing impossible with God. All things are possible. Amen. All things are possible through him. Amen. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, all things are possible. But they questioned him. They said, "Is not this the carpenter's son?" Right there, they didn't see him as God the Son. They didn't see him as the Son of God. They saw him as Joseph's son. Joseph's son. Just a man. And there are people, there are even religions that just see our Lord as just another man. He was just a man. He was sent by God. He was a prophet. But he is just a man. They say he was created by God. And just some of the worst blasphemies you could ever possibly think is coming out of theologians' mouths. They question. Now, John, little John, said that if we believe not that he is who that he is, amen, that they are antichrist. And what he's talking about is believing that Jesus is a part of the Godhead. He is deity. But they question him. It's not this the carpenter's son. It's not his mother called Mary. Now they got that one right. And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. And by the way, that's not Judas Iscariot. And there's a lot of people in that day named Joseph. A lot of them named James. A lot of them named Judas. Amen. A lot of them named Simon. A lot of them named Mary. All these names were very popular names. But he had a mother named Mary. He had half-brothers. And the Bible says, and his sisters, are they not all with us? He had sisters. They looked at his humanity and doubted him. He was just a man. He is just a man. Listen, anytime we look on the Lord as just a man with man's ability, then we're going to be hindering him. He's more than a man. More than man. Far more than man. I mean, the disciples, it took them a while to get a hold of it. Many times when the Lord would have fed a multitude, they said, Lord, where are we going to get all that bread and fish? They were looking at him as just a rabbi, a teacher, a good teacher, godly teacher, not the God that can replicate and duplicate, amen, and create. Amen. He creates. He created all those fish and loaves many times as they passed them out. Are you hearing me? I mean, it come from nothing. There it was. There it was. Why? Because he is God in the flesh. He was God Almighty in the flesh. Think about that. God in the flesh was our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? But they question him as a man. Him as his deity, they question. And the Bible said, look at this in verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. He departed thence. He left one place, going to his own country. Now he had, I wouldn't want to be a people that he had finished. I wouldn't want to be in a place where he was departing because of my unbelief. The Lord just, I had done all he's going to do because of unbelief. No doubt that was the case in many places that he went. But it said here, he did no mighty works there because of their unbelief. The Lord wants to do much more than we see many times. I have to wonder, Lord, Brother Sammy Allen used to ask all the time when he'd preach, I remember it. Even down at his church where he pastored, I've seen him in camp meetings over and over. At the end, when he gets done, really grill the crowd because it was that important. Have you done everything that God has asked you to do? Have you been obedient to the Holy Spirit? Is there anything that you're supposed to do? Have you quenched the Lord? Do you need to pray? We don't need to leave. If we've quenched the Holy Spirit, he'd say, over and over again. Listen, we can't afford to go through services, especially in these days, hindering him. We need him. We need his power. We need his presence. We need the working hand of our Lord. If we're going to see him save our people, if we're going to see him answer prayer, and he wants to. He wants to. He wants to do mighty work. Why did it say that? Why didn't it just say he could do there no works? No, you know, but it said he could do there no mighty works. He comes to do mighty works. You want him to do a mighty work in your life? I want him to do a mighty work in my life. I mean, I'll settle for a work, but a mighty work is what I'm really looking for. Amen. In the church, I like to see God work, but a mighty work. Well, that right there is what we're hoping for. Amen. I mean, for the Lord to really come down, amen, in power. To grab hold of a sinner and shake them over the fires of hell. See them fall under heavenly conviction and get born again. To see God's people get full. Amen. To where we could worship the Lord the way that God wants us to really worship him. Mighty works. Mighty works that he could not do. He was hindered. He was finished in one place and he had departed, coming into his own country. And listen, that was going to happen here. At the end of him being in his own, in a familiar place, the Lord, listen, sometimes it's so familiar. Does anybody get used to familiar in church? Have you ever got used to familiar in church? Going through the, it's just the way it is. And that's what they said. Well, oh, there's Jesus. There's Jesus. He'll come, he'll pray, he'll read some scripture in the synagogue and do some things that'll be questioned. And all familiar, and they doubted. Listen, we don't ever need to get settled, and just used to that's familiar. We need to be, looking for the Lord's presence, how the Lord is working in the service. Amen? Coming and getting in our place, wherever it is, and beginning to pray in our own heart as the choir begins to sing and begin to get our minds on the Lord and say, God, what is it that you're going to do here today? Lord, would you save somebody? God, would you help somebody? Lord, would you give us great liberty? Would your power come down upon us? Him to seek him. He wants us to seek him in service. Do you know that? Here they were. They were astonished. He taught them in the synagogue in so much that they were astonished at the end of verse 54. And said, whence hath this man, there it is again, this man, this wisdom. They questioned his wisdom. You ever question the wisdom of God in your life? Have you ever questioned the Scripture? Well, I just don't know if the Bible means that. Whence hath this man this wisdom? Well, where's he getting this wisdom from? What kind of wisdom is this? Listen, the Scripture, this is his wisdom. Amen? And every word is true. Every word is sure. Amen? I mean, we shouldn't ever question what God says in his word. Amen? I mean, sometimes people, they'll look at it crossways and try to look at it upside down to get it to say something else. Just let it say what it says. Amen? Now, they said, and these mighty works. He began to do mighty works. He actually began to do mighty works, and they questioned the works he did. That word mighty works together is a word dunamis. It means his inherent power. You see, what it was, they were having a hard time putting together this man, Jesus, and this mighty working power. Well, see, that's his inherent power. Do you know what I mean when I say his inherent power? It means you can't separate the two. You can't separate him from his power. His power is in him. Amen. It is his power. Amen. I mean, you're not going to get a powerless man in Christ. Amen. He has all power in heaven and earth, Jesus said, is given unto me. All power. But they begin to question his power. Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? The wisdom of God and the mighty works. Just a man. You see, they were looking at him wrong. They saw him wrong. They questioned his wisdom. They questioned his works. There's been people that, you know, God do something in somebody's life, and people would begin to question whether or not God did something in their life. And there's been times, here's one that I've heard for years. Sometimes you get a child really get saved, born again, a youngin', maybe a teenager, and begin to really grow and live for God. I mean, just take off on fire, and the parents ain't. And they begin to question what God's doing in that youngin's life. Well, you see, they were questioning the work in his life. This is Joseph's son. This is Mary's son. His brothers and his sisters are they not all here? This is who this is, ain't he? Well, I don't know what they thought about him, but they must have missed it along the way. Amen? Because he was all from the beginning. Amen? He was God in the flesh. And he never sinned. So the question of that maybe they thought he had a bad testimony. Somebody might say something stupid like that. But I want to tell you something. He didn't have a bad testimony. He was God's son. Holy through and through. Sinless, harmless, spotless, the Lamb of God from the beginning. Amen. Amen. Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? See, they tried to connect him just to the earthly side. That they didn't even understand. And it's hard, it may be hard sometimes for man to understand Christ in his humanity, because it's hard for them to grab a hold that he is divinity as well. He's the only one. He's the only one like he is. There is no other like him. Amen? There's no other like him. He's special. You better believe that. He is special. He is all man, but he is all God at the same time. Amen? He is the God-man that came to die for man, came to die in man's stead, in man's place. Thank God. If he wasn't man, he would have never been able to die. If he wasn't God, he couldn't have got up again. Amen? But he got up. He got up again. He was man, and therefore he could die for man. But he was God that he could get up. Amen? So here they are questioning. That's how they hindered. That's how they hindered. His divinity was challenged. The Bible said in verse 57, and they were offended in him. You know, the Bible calls him the rock of offense. He does, his life, who he is, does offend people. Why? Because it shows them their sinfulness, his perfection. Amen. His mercy and grace, that they absolutely ain't got a chance without him. And man can't stand the thought that they'd have to trust in him. Are you listening to me? It's an offense. His life's an offense to sinful man. It shows man he's a sinner. Why would the God of heaven come and die on a cross? Because man's guilty. Man's guilty. So they were offended and rejected. They were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor. See, he knew there was no honor there for him. They rejected. They rejected him. That's how we hinder the power of the Lord, is when we reject him. Many times as a young Christian, I've been sitting on the front pew or wherever, and God really began to move in my heart, asking me to do something. I tried to be obedient many times, but there was times, you know, I questioned and questioned, Lord, is this really you? Lord, is this really you? And, I mean, those were the days the Spirit of the Lord was teaching me a lot of things, teaching me to listen to His voice and to know His voice and to know His will. But there were times I didn't do it. Boy, you talk about feeling guilty after. What power did we miss? What demonstration of God would have happened if I'd have obeyed the Lord? I don't want to reject him in any way, any manner. I don't want to tell him no. Are you hearing me? I've seen people, and you have too, that they obeyed God. Just do that thing. Whatever that it is God asked them to do. Then the glory come down. I watched a young preacher years ago when God first called me to preach. We were in revival. This young preacher, he hit the floor. I'm telling you, he was a preaching. Choir was singing. He was a preaching. He was going back and forth up and down the aisle. And I mean, in just a few seconds, sinners got to pouring in the altar. I'm talking squalling their eyes out under conviction. Power of God just jumped on that service. Not because of him, but because the Lord was there and he said, be obedient to me and I'll do mighty work. I'll do mighty works. A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works. Not many mighty works. There because of their unbelief. Disbelief. I just don't. How many times would we come here thinking, I just don't know if he's going to do anything? Don't come thinking that. Come believing that he can do anything. Come trusting that he will do something. Come just trusting him. Lord, whatever you do. Like those Hebrew boys. God, if you don't deliver, we're still not going to bow to this crowd out here. We're going to serve you. We're going to worship you, Lord. We're going to give you praise. Follow you. Do what you'd have us to do. I want you to stand. Don't hinder the